through drink and drugs and other things. And I met a Christian who was living in the same block of bedsits as me, and he persuaded me to go to church. Well, I went to this church, and about after a month, they asked me to get baptized, and they kept pressuring me, and I eventually did. And you might ask, well, why are you getting baptized again? The reason I'm getting baptized again is because I was pressured into doing it. I wasn't doing it for me. I wasn't doing it for the Lord. I was doing it to please the church. Well, I stayed at that church for a couple of years, and then things got a bit difficult for me. There were differences of opinion, and I left, and I spent a few years backsliding back into drink and drugs again for a while. And then in the year 2001, I had a really, really bad accident, motorbike accident, as a lot of you know about. And whilst I was in the hospital in tremendous pain, there was a moment in there where there was this oasis of calm. And the Lord spoke to me, and he just said, Mike, don't worry, everything's going to be fine. And I'll never forget that, because there was so much peace in that moment. And eventually I came out of hospital, and obviously I couldn't do much. I was laid up. Basically, I was sleeping in a recliner chair for about 6 months, and all I had for company was a television and a radio. So I persuaded my parents, who were alive at the time, to get me a digital radio, and I found Premier Radio and UCB, two of the only Christian radio broadcasters I know of. But they used to have ministry programs on, and I couldn't get to church, so I started listening to those in the evening. And eventually I decided that when I was fit enough, I'd start going back to church. Well, I knew one or two people who'd come to this church, so I decided I would come back here. And after being here for a couple of years, Sam asked me, you know, would you like to get baptized again? I'd explained my situation, and I kept putting it off and saying, no, I'm not ready yet, and I need to pray about this. And I kept praying about it and praying about it, and I wasn't getting any answers for a long while. And then eventually, it was only a couple of months ago, the Lord said to me, it's time. And I said, well, what do you mean? Because it just came out of the blue. It's time. He said, you know what I'm talking about. And so I spoke to Sam and I said, I need to do this. I don't need to do this for you. I don't need to do this for you. I need to do this for me and for God. And that's why I'm here now. Praise God. Bless him. And one thing I would say, if the Lord wasn't in my life, I don't think I'd be here now. He's pulled me out of situations. He's pulled me up from the brink of where I wanted to end my life. And without him, I don't think I'd be here. So praise God. Bless you, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks, man. So knee. This is it. I thought I'd kneel here. Have you got your script? Just a minor detail. Now this is an almighty challenge for Nee. English isn't her native tongue, but she has worked hard and prepared her story, haven't you? You feel okay? We're right behind you.
Yes, good morning everyone. This is very, very hard for me. I'm so nervous. I'm going to read. I hope everyone will understand. My life started in a Christian family because my parents had a strong faith. When I was about 10, our church sadly burned. Nearby the house where we lived in. After this, my father gave our living room and bedroom into the church for a few years. So we had to live in the kitchen. Unfortunately, my mother died in 1989. Then Sunday schools and for all the children. A year later, my father marries our stepmother, who didn't have a good relationship with us. Everything was hard at this time. My father suddenly passed away in 1994, so it's become extremely challenging for our brother and sister. Without any caring guiding for us, through all this troubling time, God had always been there for every situation for our life. I was married and living in an army battalion. All my brother, sister, and my niece were with me. And my older sister was supporting us. There was no church, but everybody had to go to a Buddhist temple and pray. Either way, they won't promote to my husband, and they find him to like a hard work. But I didn't go because I said to them, "Our Bible said you are not allowed to go to worship other God." But when the young lady, who is from Chin tribe, where I came from, came to the camp to teach us how to sing, praise, and worship, and how to read the Bible, as well as teaching the children. Every time she comes, she travels on the bike for 7 miles just to see and help us, which is when she gave me my first Bible. I want to find her to say thank you for all she had given me. Six years later, my husband ran away from the army. Then we were left behind without anyone. Fortunately, my sister lived on the Thai-Burmese border, so we could go and live there. Luckily, my brother-in-law helped our family. Although he was a Buddhist, later he became a Christian. Now they are living in the USA. In there, we met an elderly lady who we call her mom. She loved us so much. But now she's living with her daughters in the USA. Because of her, I had a chance to listen God's word, beginning to the end of the Bible. A couple of evangelists gave me a special time for 4 days for me. Mom was with me every single day, praying for me during when I had a lesson. At the end, they asked if I understood and did I accept him as my savior. I say yes, he is my everything. After that, they prayed for me. I was suddenly very sick and diarrhea. I had diarrhea. As fast I thought I was ill, but no one else was ill, and I felt fine. After, it was as if demons were living from my body, all the bad stuff couldn't stay there because God was there now. And I became a real Christian. You may think you are a Christian because when you have being brought up by a Christian home, and being to Sunday school. But it is more than that. God, what is so deep, high, and wide, it is hard to understand. So sometimes we need someone to help us. There was no baptism when I became a Christian because I had a too busy life. Bible study, crusade, and home service. After I accepted God to my Savior, I had a chance to listen how to follow Him from two evangelists. We had a lot of God people visit us, and sometimes it's too difficult for us to feed them. But God always provides for what we need, with everything we need. I'm missing that time. It was happy time in our life. When we arrived in 2010 in Wellington, since then we attended the WBC, which I always received my spiritual need. I then joined the lady group. I have shared my experience, which had helped me a lot. How much He loves us and how good He is. They were trying to understand what I say. Because my speaking English. Anyway, they are very good. A year ago, we start to fellowship with the Filipino church, which encouraged me a lot. If you have a problem in your heart and you don't open your heart, it's very hard to carry on your own. This is too much for a burden. I'm blessed because I found brother and sister in Christ. I then realized this was time for me to baptize. Thank you.
Big man. Nee wasn't going to say that on her own, so it's taken tremendous courage for her to share her story. So, Linda.
Hello. Right. I was brought up as a Christian in the Anglican denomination. I joined the choir at the age of 6 and went to church regularly with my mum. At the age of 11, I was confirmed by our local vicar and continued worshipping at school and with my family in the holidays. In my first year of teaching, I lived with Jenny and Stephen. I went to the Anglican church with Jenny and began to go to church regularly. In 1992, I got married and we moved to Bramcote. A colleague suggested I tried a modern Anglican church, where I met a lady who invited me to her house group. I hadn't heard of house groups before, and she was very clever because she told me to contact her if I didn't want to go, but gave me directions and times and said, "I'll see you there." So it was far easier to just turn up than it was to actually ring and say, "No, I'm not going to come." The first question I was asked when I got there was, "When did I consciously invite Jesus into my life?" This gave me pause for thought because I just said, "Well, I've always been a Christian." And they went, "No, when did you actually say?" And I realised I'd never actually uttered these words consciously, especially as an adult. I became quite involved in the ministry team, and I had my first experience with the Holy Spirit in 1995. I was heavily pregnant, and my mum was due to have an operation on the same day that my baby was due. I wrestled with asking for prayer about this, worried that if nothing happened, it would challenge my faith. However, during the service, I had the most amazing sense of peace that whatever happened, it was going to be okay, I was going to be okay, and it was going to be the right thing. During communion, the vicar asked me if I wanted prayer, And my friends with me said, yes. So I explained the situation, and they prayed for me. I felt myself fall backwards and stopped. I cannot find the words to describe what this felt like. I've heard of people falling over in the spirit, and to be honest, I've been very sceptical about it and thought that it's a lot of nonsense and people are just, you know, getting wound up by the moment. However, on this day, I definitely fell backwards without any conscious thought, and I felt completely surrounded by love. Becky was then born the next evening, a week early. I've been to a variety of churches trying to find a spiritual home where I could feel safe and supported. I was invited to this church by Rachel and David White. Though it took me a while to become a regular member here, I've always enjoyed the atmosphere. There's a strong family feel here where we all get to appreciate and be challenged by the different skills, abilities, and values that people in this church have to offer. I feel I belong. 3 years ago, I faced another challenge, cancer. And although I knew it was going to be tough, I had this feeling of peace and deep conviction that I was going to come out of it okay. It was harder than I'd expected, but knowing that people here at St. Mary's in Taunton, where Mum was, and other friends were praying for me, really helped. My faith has been an important part of my life and has helped me through many difficult patches, but I've always been very quiet about it. I've been thinking about being baptised for over a year now, so here I am, standing in front of you to publicly say I invite Jesus into my life and I will aim to live my life following Jesus' example. And I thank you all for being here to witness this.
Okay, guess what? We're going to do the baptisms. It was a priority of Mike's that the water was really hot, and I'm pleased to say it's up to my usual standard. The heater only came out 15 minutes before the start of the service, and it's just there, isn't it, Helen? It really just, yeah. Okay, so we're going to baptise you, Mike, first. Do you want to take those shoes off? That's it, turn it upside down. That's it. Okay. Now, I should explain a couple of things. I'm going to ask of each of the people who are going to be baptized to make promises and confession of faith. And each time each person comes out of the water, we're going to sing a baptismal hymn or song that they've chosen. Okay, so once Mike comes up, etc., a song will appear. That means you on the PA desk need to switch the words back on, by the way, otherwise we will not know what to say. And then you sing it, and we'll be praying for Mike just as you sing that together. Okay? So, Mike, I'm going to ask you to make confession of faith and promises. Mike, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
Mike, do you turn from sin, renounce evil, and intend to follow Christ?
I will.
And finally, will you seek to live within the fellowship of his church and to serve him in the world?
Yes, yes.
So, Mike, I've got a verse of scripture for you as your baptismal verse. It's the one, I think, that the Norman will be able to tell me. I think they have it on the back of the Philippines rugby team shirts, but it's the one that we love so much. Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things I know you often say, Mike, I can't do that because of the accident. But I think God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, Mike, having heard of your repentance and on confession of faith and at your own request, I baptize you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast told me to know, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. Season should burn, the trial should come, the peace past assurance must come, the Christ has regarded my hopeless escape, and has shed his whole blood for my soul.
Sunny, welcome to the lovely water. I'm going to ask you to make confession of faith and promises just like Mike did, okay? Sunny, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
need you turn from sin, renounce evil, and intend to follow Christ?
I do, I will.
And finally, Nhi, will you seek to live within the fellowship of his church and to serve him in the world?
I do, I will.
Nhi, I've got a verse of scripture for you, which is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. You then, my child, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. So, Nhi, having heard of your repentance, and on confession of faith, and at your own request, I baptize you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you, may he's gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up your light of his countenance upon you and give you. Gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you.
So, Linda, exactly the same. Promises and confession. Linda, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
Linda, do you turn from sin, renounce evil, and intend to follow Christ?
I do.
And finally, will you seek to live within the fellowship of his church and to serve him in the world?
I will.
Linda, I've got a verse of scripture for you, which is taken from Philippians chapter 4, verse 5 to 23. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So, Linda, having heard of your repentance, and on confession of faith, and at your own request, I baptize you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Purify my heart, let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart, let me be as gold, pure gold. Refine as my heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be a path for you, my master, led into to your room.
Good news is that it's not long before we're baptizing again. Where are people lining up to be baptized? And although the date's not quite yet finalized, if you've not yet been baptized, what are you waiting for? Come and see me and we can sort that out. But right now, whilst I change, two things are going to happen. There's going to be we're going to take our offering, and David, our worship leader, is going to lead us as we sing "Christ Be in My Waking." I think it's time we stood to our feet. And after that, Paul is going to show us a Skits Guys video. Okay, we take up our offering and sing.
Now, God wants to bring us into a revelation of the words of this song, because he says, I'm not just a Sunday God. I'm not just a God that is with you when you come within the four walls of a church. It's not that some things are spiritual and other things are not spiritual, but I gather everything in your life up in my arms into the whole and make it one and make it blessed and make it special. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly and live it to the full. To know why you're here and who you are and what your purpose is. I want you to know my presence wherever you are in all things, and to make every place special, every place holy, every place blessed, every day special. And you, my child, are special to me. And I place upon you great value, the value of my son who gave himself for you. There is no price I would not pay, no price I would not have given to make you mine. And I desire you, my children, to be mine, to be betrothed to me. Christ be in my waking, as the sun is rising, in my day of working, with me every hour. Christ be in my resting, as the day is mending, coming and refreshing, watching through the night. Christ be in my thinking, and my understanding, guarding me from evil, walking in the light. Christ be in my speaking, every word a blessing, pure and not deceiving, grace to all who hear. Jesus, this is my devotion, all my life to know you, every way to open you. Savior, you're my deepest longing, you're the one I live for, teach me, Lord, to walk with you. In my gladness,
for the joy of living, thankful for the goodness of the Father's hand. Christ be in my sorrow, in my day of darkness, knowing that I follow in the steps he trod. Jesus, this is my devotion, all my life to know you, every day to walk with you. Savior, you're my deepest longing, for what I live for, teach me, Lord, to walk with you. Jesus, this is my devotion, all my life to know you, every day to walk with you. Savior, you're my deepest longing, Lord, the one I live for, teach me, Lord, to walk with you. Christ, when hope has faded, nothing left to cling to, every pleasure jaded, every well is dry. Christ, the loving shepherd, draws me with his kindness, leads me from the desert to the sea. This is my devotion, all my life to know you, every day to walk with you. Jesus, you're my deepest longing, you're the one I live for, teach me, Lord, to walk with you. Jesus, this is my devotion, all my life to know you, every day to walk with you. Savior, you're my deepest longing, you're the one I live for, teach me, Lord, to walk with you.
Please be seated.
I need you, my one dear.
if you're okay without God, then okay. But the vast majority of people I meet need somebody to hold them through the challenges and the storms of life. And there ain't anybody in here who doesn't have challenges and storms in their life. We've got an Alpha course starting in just a few weeks' time. You might have heard of it. It's been around for a good few years, over a decade. If you've got questions about life, then the Alpha course has answers. If you're not local, there will be an Alpha course running near to you. It's international. But if not, if you're local here, you're welcome to come and join that course. I want to turn you in the Bible to a familiar story. It's the story of Zacchaeus the tax collector. I'm going to just read it to you. It's chapter 9 of Luke, chapter 19 of Luke, and it's just 9 verses. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a very short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back 4 times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost." The story of Zacchaeus, or as I like to call him, Zac the Tax, is as well known as the hills. Probably because we all enjoy being down on tax men, tax people. If you're not yet at the stage of paying tax, you perhaps soon will be, and then you will be joining us as we complain about the taxes we pay. And indeed, anything to do with Her Majesty's Inspector of Taxes, we like to complain about. And this account amplifies this, because even the people in the story disliked him too. But with good reason. Because seemingly, Zac or Zacchaeus was, as we like to put these days, he was a bent tax man. A chief tax man, but he creamed off as much of the income for himself. But we need to snap out of this mindset and read this account through the eyes of Jesus. In fact, Jesus in this story doesn't exclude anyone. He doesn't exclude anyone on the basis of wealth. That's Zacchaeus. Or poverty. Or indeed any human measure. He doesn't say you're not welcome. He says the opposite. Except for those, and our story kind of alludes to the Jewish tax leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. Except for those people who've already made up their mind that they didn't need God. So here's some thoughts as we move towards the end of our service. In this account, Zacchaeus is the excluded one. Yes, we know why. But that's not the point. We've been there, we've talked about the taxes. No. And it rarely is. And there's always a story for people in our world who feel excluded. There's always, as we've heard today, a very deep and meaningful story. And to be honest, we don't know Zach's background. We tell this story often in school assemblies or in Sunday school. And we don't go into Zacchaeus' background too much. We laugh at the fact that he had to climb a tree. But the story is often worked out day after day in this county and in this country, in our community, upon our streets, our country, in the camps of Calais, or upon the shores of Greece. We see visibly on our TV sets and we see in our streets those who are excluded. But these are the ones that we know about because of the media. And the judgment goes on in terms of people we exclude in our society today. The gay, the lesbian or homosexual community, the person who dresses differently, the one who has rings or studs where you never thought they'd go. These are all caught up in our prejudices. The person with tattoos, maybe, although that's mainstream now. Even deacons have them. Or the prostitutes, or the drug sellers, or the hairy bikers. Oh, wait, there are two chefs on TV, so that's okay. Then there's the homeless, the smelly or the drunken who crave our money on the streets. But every one of them has a story to tell. And often when we see them, our prejudices kick in. These are the Zacks of the new century. And seemingly our world is full of people who feel excluded. Maybe you here this morning are one who feel excluded in some shape or form. And many feel broken or crushed by what's happened to them. And they're on the edge of society. And Jesus would point our eyes towards them and say, why are they excluded? And I wonder whether class and wealth and comforts aside, whether therefore amongst us here today, whether there are some Zacks. What is your story? Do you feel excluded? Things have happened. Stuff has happened. And you feel on the edge. This morning as you've listened to the stories, you said, part of me is in the stories I've heard. I wish I could be like those who were baptized. But no one knows, and you're here today, and you're asking questions. Zach is the excluded one. Secondly, Zach jumps up a tree. You see, this Zacchaeus chap, he was hated. And he knew that he was hated. He was excluded. And people would run when they saw him. They knew what was coming, and that exclusion hit home painfully to Zacchaeus. When all was said and done, all Zac wanted was to be loved and accepted. He tried numerous times, but people still hated him. And it seemed to Zacchaeus that turning the clock back was too hard. He'd gone too far with his taxes. And yet this Jesus figure was someone different. He knew that if he went to this procession of Jesus coming into the village, that he'd be ignored. But he just wanted to see Jesus. He wanted a glimpse. But something would change all of that. The shortest would become the tallest. Zacchaeus is the excluded one. Zac jumps up a tree. Thirdly, he only has eyes for you. The shock and the upset happens. Jesus gets it wrong, you see. Jesus upsets everybody. His followers think that they're his. He's not allowed to love the ones that they hated and they excluded. But the excluded one is about to be included. And Zach almost falls out of the tree in his astonishment. Yes, he does see Jesus. But that's not all how it happened. Jesus looked at Zacchaeus. You can picture it in your mind. He stops at the foot of the tree. He looks up. And completely to surprise Zacchaeus, he looks at him and he calls him by name. And he says, I'm coming for lunch to your house. And I'm staying for tea. And I want coffee. Well, you know. And Zacchaeus is still hanging in the tree. And he's thinking, but people hate me. And he goes, at my place? Doesn't he know who I am? Doesn't he realize what I've done? This is crazy. I am the hated one. But he only had eyes for me. Jesus knew about everything. He accepted me. He laughed with me. And in Zacchaeus' house, this was life-changing. In fact, he invited me to follow him. And I'm going to do it because I've messed up and I was so lonely and he's given me another chance, says Zacchaeus. He only has eyes for you today. You see, Jesus doesn't exclude, he includes. Actually, that's a rather poor description. Jesus loves, Jesus forgives. He gives another chance to you today. He knows about everything and he only has eyes for you. Lastly, for Zacchaeus, it's time for a change. Jesus says, salvation has come to this house. You see, Zach is so overwhelmed by being included in the love of God that his reaction is to suddenly, I don't know, open his checkbook to repay all who he has robbed, taxes or no taxes. He makes right the wrong things he's done. And what changed Zach was not being told a list of all the numerous things he's done wrong. That so happens in our society. You want to get right? Here's a list of what you've got to put right. No, that doesn't happen with Zach. But the vivid, practical love of Jesus simply says, I'm coming to your house, Zacchaeus. I'm coming to your house. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 13, it says it in black and white, you are included in Christ. You are included. You're not excluded. You are included. You are included in Christ. You may not know that you are, but most people look at Christianity with uncertainty. Maybe today you've heard the stories. You've loved the imagery of the baptism. But you scratched your heads. You know, Zach doesn't get it all sorted out in the story. You know, I know Jesus is at his house for lunch and tea and coffee and all that kind of stuff. But I can't imagine that they're going through theology lessons. They're actually going through a whole series of Zach feeling included. Zach has so many questions, but he doesn't get them answered. He doesn't have all those questions answered. Doctrine doesn't change him. Love does. You may have questions today. I'm sure you do. But the stories that you've heard today about God loving each of the people who've been baptized is what will go with you as you depart. I wonder what you'll do. You are included. What are you going to do about it? You are included. And you're welcome to join with others on this journey. Come and find out more. You're included in Christ. We're going to conclude our service as we sing a great hymn of praise. Praise my soul, the King of heaven. To his feet I tribute bring. We stand to sing.
Praise my soul, the King of
us today, and you're welcome to come again. Tea and coffee and refreshments are served out of the church, turn right into the hall. It's been raining whilst we've been in here, so it'll be a bit of a dash. You're welcome to check out our website, wellingtonchurch.com, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter and stay up to date with all the things that we're doing. Here's a blessing. May God bless us and watch over us. May he open our hearts to his love. And the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be upon us this day and forevermore. Amen.